This is 1A. I'm Todd Zwillick in Washington, sitting in for Joshua Johnson. Well, the report is in. The FBI has submitted the results of its limited investigation into Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The report came in late last night, we're told. Hours after that, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell filed a motion for a Friday vote on Brett Kavanaugh's nomination on the Senate floor. The final vote on whether to confirm him is expected to happen Saturday. Joining me to discuss the report and its potential fallout is NPR Justice Department reporter Ryan Lucas. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you.
So we have this report, or well, the Senate has the report now. Do we, the people, have any idea what is actually contained within the four corners?
Well, we don't have any sort of specifics, no, and this is certainly something that is confidential and not something that is generally released to the public, and there are no plans at this point, according to the Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, for any of this to be made public, despite clearly a fair amount of interest among Democrats to make this public, and certainly, I think, among a chunk of the American public to learn what's in there. What we do know is that publicly, at least, six people have confirmed that they spoke to the FBI. Many of them are people who were friends of Judge Kavanaugh's during high school. That would be Mark Judge, P.J. Smith, Tim Gaudette, and Chris Garrett, as well as one friend of Ford's, that's Leland Kaiser, who all confirmed that they spoke to the FBI. And then there's a second woman who made allegations of sexual misconduct against Kavanaugh, and that's Deborah Ramirez, and we know that she also spoke to the FBI. Now, NPR has learned that nine people, according to an official, nine people spoke with the FBI in total. But again, a lot of this is one, you know, we don't know what all the FBI was told in this, and likely we're not going to get a full picture. But what we do have so far is what Chairman Grassley has said, and that is that there's nothing in there that the committee and the public at this point didn't already know.
So where is the report right now physically? I mean, how are senators looking at it? Because it's extremely sensitive. Every reporter in Washington wants to get a look at it, and every political operative does, too.
Well, the process for this is governed by a memorandum of understanding that dates back around a decade. But what generally happens is when the White House gets this background information on a judicial nominee, that will send it over to the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's generally held in the Judiciary Committee's safe. Today, it's being held in a secure location in the Capitol in which senators can come down and look at it. This is basically working in shifts right now, where Democrats will get an hour to take a look at it, and then Republicans, and there are a small handful of staffers who have clearance to see this as well. But basically, people, members are coming in, getting a look at the report. They can get briefed on it, but this is all happening within basically the bowels of the Capitol right now.
Now, Christine Blasey Ford's lawyers say she has not been interviewed by the FBI in this inquiry. It doesn't appear that Brett Kavanaugh has been interviewed, even though he has gone through several levels of interviews at several stages of this process. Ryan, what about the seemingly large list of people who say they had or have information relevant not only to Brett Kavanaugh's behavior in high school or college, but also whether he was truthful or may have lied in front of the Senate when he gave sworn testimony about his past? What about that list of people who says they want to talk to the FBI, but the FBI never came calling?
Well, this is why the question of scope has been kind of this very brutal political fight over that over the past several days. And that's because it is the White House that gets to determine the scope of a background investigation. This is not a criminal investigation in which the FBI has subpoena power and will chase down every lead that's out there. That's not what this is. This is a background investigation that the FBI conducts at the behest of the White House. The White House gets to determine what they look into. And the president has said, while he would like a comprehensive investigation here, that he's basing his directives to the FBI off of what Senate Republicans want. And so if Senate Republicans want a very kind of narrow focus for this investigation, that's what they were going to get. And basically, what we have seen from the people who have come forward and said that they've spoken with the FBI is that this was a very narrow focus. Deborah Ramirez has said that she gave the FBI during her interview, which was on, well, it was last weekend, a list of more than 20 people who might be able to corroborate her allegations of sexual misconduct. People who either witnessed it or knew about it or heard about it contemporaneously. And she says that none of those people have been contacted by the FBI. And there was actually a story that came out in The New Yorker late last night in which a number of people said on the record that they heard about it contemporaneously. They could corroborate that if the FBI had actually come forward and asked them. And there were a number of people who actually tried to approach the FBI to get information to the authorities that they felt might be relevant and basically kind of hit a stone wall. And so if it's not in the report now, it sounds like it's basically not going to be an impact in, well, decision-making for the senators who are taking a look at it.
Deborah Ramirez, a Yale classmate who alleges that Brett Kavanaugh exposed himself to her at a drunken party, and several people, as you said, who say that they heard about it at the time or know about it directly. Let me play you a bit of tape from Jamie Roach. He was on CNN last night. Jamie Roach is one of the people who says he has not been contacted by investigators. He was roommates with Brett Kavanaugh freshman year at Yale, and here's what he said to CNN last night.
My recollection of my experience with him was that he was drunk frequently, that it wasn't drunk to the point of having trouble getting up every month or two. It was frequently. I would say with some confidence it was at least once, maybe twice on the weekends. It may have even been during the week.
Now, we've been hearing from lots of 1A listeners. Melissa Sanford emails us, whether or not Brett Kavanaugh assaulted Christine Blasey Ford, and I believe he did, he lied under oath numerous times in his rebuttal. No one who has lied under oath should be a judge of any kind, especially a Supreme Court justice. Ryan Lucas, that's the view of one listener, but Melissa is not alone in the list of people who think that not just at issue here is whether Brett Kavanaugh is to be convicted of attempted sexual assault when he was a younger man, but whether he was truthful in front of the Senate under oath.
Well, that's a point that a lot of Democrats in the Senate have made, is that his testimony is not consistent with what we have heard from former Yale classmates as well as former classmates at Georgetown Prep in the D.C. suburbs where he went to high school. And that's something that they feel, well, one, the drinking is a question because of it may have bearing on what he remembers or does not remember about these alleged incidents. And then two, the questions of, yes, truthfulness in his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee and whether someone should sit on the Supreme Court who members of Congress have questions about his truthfulness when really they should be kind of the gold standard if you're a judge on the Supreme Court. At the same point in time, Republicans are saying that, look, these were questions of allegations of sexual misconduct. That's what the investigation was looking into. We're not going to go off on what they would basically call the president actually referred to it as a witch hunt. Sarah Sanders referred to it as a fishing expedition. They wanted to keep this very narrowly focused on the questions of Ford's allegations of sexual misconduct and Ramirez's as well. And they did not want to head off into this other kind of field of potential, what some people would refer to as perjury in his testimony.
It's true that Republicans have the power to limit the scope of this background investigation, as you say, Ryan. It is not a criminal investigation. They're not there to establish probable cause or guilt. At the same time, it does seem like a bit of a double game was being played here. Jeff Flake, the Republican conservative senator from Arizona, is the one who forced this extended investigation. The White House, you know, the president said, I think they should look at whatever they need to look at. We want the whole truth. At the same time as saying it's up to Senate Republicans, who in turn could limit the investigation by essentially directing it from their end. And there are there's a lot of washing of hands here.
Right. And I think people kind of got sucked in by the soundbite of the president saying, I want a comprehensive investigation. They can look at anything that they want. The problem is that towards the end of that, he also said, but the directions that I'm giving the FBI are going to be dictated essentially by Senate Republicans and what they want to see out of this investigation. I think that, you know, people can say that Flake may not have gotten exactly what he was looking for here. But at the same point in time, look, there has not been a vote on this nomination yet. Flake still holds the power to vote against it, as does Senator Susan Collins of Maine and Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Those are two other Republican senators who have been viewed as kind of on the fence on Kavanaugh's nomination. And so they, while if they feel that this investigation was not sufficient or if they still have doubts, it is well within their power when the vote comes to the floor to vote no on this nomination. If they feel that that's the decision that they need to make.
And not just to vote no. Mitch McConnell ordered this investigation because Mitch McConnell had no choice. Those three senators today could say, not good enough. We want you to talk to, I don't know, those 20 people, or we want you to talk to the guy who was on CNN last night. They have the power to do that, too.
In theory, yes. Although a cloture vote has already been, which is a procedural motion in the Senate, has already been filed, which I think kind of ramps up the pressure on Flake and Collins and Murkowski and keeps this train moving. But this is some bare knuckle politics right now. And if Flake and Murkowski and Collins really want to push back, they certainly do have a block in the Senate that could derail this nomination if they want it to.
Well, the FBI investigation, with all of its limits, is into the Senate. It currently resides in what's called a SCIF, a secured location. That makes it very, very secret. And there's only one copy. And the train, as Ryan says, has started to move thanks to Mitch McConnell. A vote is coming tomorrow in the Senate. Ryan Lucas, covering the Justice Department for NPR. Ryan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, coming up, we're going to shift gears a little bit from the United States to Latin America. Brazil is electing a new president this weekend, and the temperament of their current frontrunner may sound pretty familiar. I'm Todd Zwillick. Glad to be with you. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR. Nossa, nossa, assim você me mata. Ai, se eu te pego, ai, ai, se eu te pego, Deus.